Welcome to the Hyper Voice, episode 108. This is a show all about Pokemon's Video Game Championship Series. I'm your host, Steven Morioka, and I am here with Alex Underhill.
Wait a minute, I thought you were Steve.
Whoa, don't call me that. But yes, we do need to talk about a big announcement for those of us who follow us on Twitter and saw the big news from Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is that you and I, we're joining the roster. We're in Smash.
I'm happy to finally be able to talk about this out in public. We've been kind of, you know, keeping this under wraps for so long. And it's just amazing that it's finally here.
I'm shocked that we get that at the reaction to everybody. Like, we broke Twitter. We broke the internet with our announcement of getting into the game. And the only thing I do wish, we didn't have enough time to tell our Nintendo rep who was in contact with us, but I should have told them that I don't like being called Steve, and they should have left it as Steven, and you know, now it's all over the internet, and you know, that's okay. I guess it'll work, but also for reference, I don't like being called Steve, for everyone who does not know that.
Yeah, also, aren't there like two spellings of Steven anyway? Like,
yes.
Steven with a PH and Steven with a V, and you're with a PH?
I am with a PH. There's also plenty more with like Stefan. Like there's Stephan, there's Stefan, all kinds of other
true
strange other spellings. But
the reason I mentioned is that I feel like if you're gonna go by Steve, you usually have that V in your name. I don't know a lot of PH Stevens that go by Steve, but to be fair, I mean, it's up to them.
Yeah, I know some other Stevens who go by Steve who are the PH and they go by Steve, and that's fine. I personally don't like it. No one in my family calls me Steve. And so everyone out there, please call me Steven. I would really like that a lot.
Or Steph.
No, oh God, I hate that. Like, that sucks
Steve
too. See, like,
Steve?
No, stop that. See, like, there's a, you know the famous basketball player Steph Curry, right, on the Golden State Warriors?
Yes.
The,
yes,
you know, deadly three-point shooter. Just solid basketball player overall. I am not a fan of him, mainly because he spells his name the same way I do, Steven, right, with a PH, and that's fine. But he shortened his name to Steph. And now whenever anyone says my name, they think it's called pronounced Stephen, like Stephen Curry. And for that reason, like, that's because he's become such a pop culture icon within the last decade or so, that's also been an issue for me recently.
So wait a minute. Was he a Steven?
I don't think so. I think he was always a Stefan, but the name spelled the same as mine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what his parents decided to pronounce it, so they called him Stefan.
All right, so let's go ahead and get down to the Pokemon business here, though. The Smash stuff is fun. I actually was really caught off guard when Steven had tagged me in the tweet. I was like, wait, what? Because so much so, I do not think of Steven as a Steve. So I was like, that's not even... Okay, fair.
It's
I guess
close
people
enough
to do that.
Yeah. And I think I think Alex from Minecraft was female, right?
Yes.
For this
yes
announcement,
so
yeah. It was just funny that the names matched up and everything. And yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, if you follow us on our Twitter accounts, you know, we made it. There's a screenshot from the Nintendo Switch news about Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, about Minecraft Steve and Alex coming to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. So I took a screenshot of that, posted that, and here we are finally talking about it because I promised this for the show. And, you know, to be honest, I've actually never played Minecraft.
Oh my gosh, really?
I've not played it.
I guess while we're talking about the Smash announcement, we should at least give like a quick opinion on it. Like, I do think it's really awesome that Steve got into Smash. I personally don't play much Smash anymore. I do own Ultimate, but haven't been doing much with it, and don't, like, buy all the DLC characters or anything, because I'm not very dedicated, but I think it's really fun that Steve got into it. I think that's awesome, and I'm a pretty big Minecraft fan. Like, I've had a lot of good times playing it with friends. Definitely recommend it.
I think overall, the opinions to their introduction to the game were mixed. Mostly positive, though. Some people are not happy with it, but I'm cool with it. I like it a lot. I just add more franchises and characters to the mix, so it's pretty cool. But like you mentioned, let's get to some more of the more pertinent Pokemon stuff, not just Lucario, Pokemon Trainer, Jigglypuff, and Pikachu, and Mewtwo, and Pichu, and everything, and Greninja, and Incineroar, but... Let's talk about some VGC here, and we're going to start off with a quick mention to a friend of the show, Adi, and because Adi just won the recent Reddit circuit, which we were promoting within the last month or so, their circuit finale tournament. I believe Adi played in it, well, obviously played in it, and then he won with his team. So, Alex, do you want to go ahead and break down his team here for us?
Yeah, so this is, of course, Series 6, and... we're 97% sure, 96% sure, that...
Oh, love it.
Series... That's just a reference to something Steven and I talked on the pod, off-air before the show that you guys will never understand. Anyway, I am 96% sure that, Series 6 will not matter for anything. However, we will be kind of going into that a little bit more later in the show with an announcement.
Hmm.
But yeah, I don't think Series 6 is going to be for anything serious. This obviously was a tournament with some stakes, though. There was money on the line. It was like over $1,000 in prizes to be distributed amongst. I don't remember how much exactly Adi won. I think it was somewhere between $700 and $1,000. And yeah, of course, it's a Series 6, so... the team is Terrakion, Clefairy, Persian, Ferrothorn, Gastrodon, and Charizard. It was just a pretty solid team. I was actually hanging out while the team was built in call with him, but I was not a contributing member at all because I do not want any part in Series 6. So I was just like along for the ride. But with Rajan, of course, Rajan Ball, who's been on the show before, and Raghav Malavia, who has also been on the show, built the team with Adi, and Adi was able to take it all the way, which was so funny, just like, just giving my personal experience on it. Like, I was in the call, and this team sounded awful. They never believed in it, and like, I was like, just the whole time, just like mocking them, you know, just not being a helpful resource at all. And I was just like, yeah, this does not... this really... You have both Gastrodon and Ferrothorn, and people are going to make so much fun of you. And, yeah, they ended up taking it all. It was amazing to watch Adi play on stream and win it, because, like, so many of the plays were just, like, kept working out. It was really crazy to watch. I think the last couple of sets are up on YouTube, as well as... I think the team report is out now. I think that just came out, like, in the last day or two. So as I guess, you know, when this goes up, but yeah.
Yeah. That's on Adi's, own personal YouTube channel. So please everyone go check him out, on that and the team report if you're curious. One thing I just want to point out, this was an Alolan Persian, that you mentioned there, and the, tournament was actually, I believe it was a double elimination bracket. So you could only afford one loss. Otherwise you're out. So, obviously, Adi, strong player, and the team turned out all right.
That was, of course, after Swiss. They did do Swiss.
Oh, I did not know that.
It was both. It was hybrid. It was a Swiss tournament where buys in the double elimination bracket were given to those players who didn't play the Swiss, did better in Swiss. And yeah, then just double elim, and I guess, like, if you don't want, like, tournament spoilers or anything, but, like, obviously Adi ends up winning. Adi did end up making it to, like, winner's finals before losing to Mogar, and then won in loser's finals against Bingji, and then went back to beat Mogar in two sets in a row, just four games in a row. All won by Adi to reset the bracket first, you know, in a best of three, and then win the second best of three.
Yeah, how about that? Good stuff.
quite the feat coming back from a loss. So anyway, team seems cool. I don't really have a lot of opinions on it just because I don't have a lot of experience playing Series 6. I think it's just kind of fun to note that there's like Charizard and Terrakion are like the clear offensive Dynamax targets here. And then there's just a lot of like supporters or like cleanup endgame mons. Gastrodon and Ferrothorn are two very strong Pokemon when you eliminate their checks. Charizard very much helps delete all like grass type attackers, which makes Gastrodon's life very easy. Whereas Terrakion can do very well against fire type attackers. And once you eliminate the fire type attackers, Ferrothorn has a much easier time. So as well as, you know, Clefairy and Persian just kind of providing the support that we're used to seeing from them. So
yeah, and Oddity's Clefairy also has Life Dew in place of a Sing, so there's also Follow Me, Helping Hand, and Protect. But the Life Dew is really cool on this team because obviously you can just heal yourself and your partner. But with Gastrodon, you're also activating Storm Drain on those turns that it'll hit it. So nice energy there too.
Yeah, definitely a fun little thing that the team can pull off. Anyway, that's really all there is to say about Series 6. We'll talk more about Series 6 if it ever becomes relevant again. I think that in just a couple of weeks here, it's going to fall pretty much on the complete wayside when the new DLC comes out. And even if it doesn't, become Battle Stadium legal until November, everyone's going to be building and preparing and theorying for what's to come.
Yeah, what a quick turn, man. Like, it was only maybe a month ago that we were just all so excited for Series 6. Maybe not excited is the right word, but everyone was, prepping, anticipating what Series 6 was going to look like, and ultimately probably not going to end up mattering too much, but we'll get into that talk a little bit later on. I do want to just move us on to a next topic here, to our next topic here. Take a little stand here on something a little bit different, but I felt was might be relevant to bring up for a possible format in the future. And this is actually the Battle of Legends online competition. So people, you may have seen this from some of the Pokemon social media accounts or on the Pokemon website or even on your Nintendo Switch news. But there's an online competition, not this weekend, but the following weekend, which I believe is going to be the 16th through 18th, something along those lines. But this Battle of Legends online competition, you know, when I first saw it, it was like, oh yeah, you get to play with some legendary and mythical Pokemon. And then I also saw it as double battle. I was like, oh, wow. This, you can only bring one. And I'm just going to read off the list of the legendary and mythical Pokemon allowed here. But we have you can use a team of six using all Pokemon available in the Galar and Isle of Armor decks, and one mythical or legendary from Mewtwo, Mew, Celebi, Jirachi, Reshiram, Zekrom, Kyurem, Keldeo, Cosmog, Cosmoem, Solgaleo, Lunala, Necrozma, Magearna, Marshadow, Zeraora, Meltan, Melmetal, Zacian, Zamazenta, Eternatus, and Zarude. So, that's cool, man. Like, some of these Pokemon, we have seen some of these in our restricted formats in the past, but these mythicals, no. This will be the first time to kind of play with these in a doubles format like this. I think it's cool.
So I have to ask, Steven, do you know if this is Bring 6, Pick 4, or is it 6v6?
I believe it's going to be Bring 6, Pick 4.
Okay. I do think that it is pretty fun that you get one legendary on your team, and in the past we joked about people running Cosmog or Cosmoem as one of their restricted legends in like 2019. And now you have the option to use Meltan, but as your exclusive only legendary Pokemon for this like exclusive list, it's the only Pokemon that you can use. I do think that this is going to be some tight competition, like with the actual like Pokemon that you are choosing. You know, there are like some mythicals on this list, and those are Pokemon that we don't normally get to compete with VGC ever. And even though they do have their strengths, I think a lot of these are just going to be super, super niche and not picked at all. Like, there's Celebi, Jirachi, as well as Zarude and Zeraora. And these are, like, all solid Pokemon. And, like, Marshadow, I guess. And there's Keldeo, who we don't really, like, We don't envy Keldeo anymore because we now have our Urshifu water. But, yeah, like, all these Pokemon are solid, but I just don't think they have the power level to compare when there's, like, Pokemon like Mewtwo or, you know, Lunala or Zacian and Zamazenta. Like, there's just so much stronger options. I did choose to not mention Mew just because I feel like if there's anything Mew can do, it's enable some type of cheese team. Or, you know, work as a specific counter to one of these legends that just because of how much versatility it has. But for the rest of them, like, there's just, I don't know, it's tough to argue. And I know that Magearna has always busted in Doubles OU to the point that it gets banned every time. I think it might have even got, like, banned in Doubles Ubers. I'm just making stuff up, though. Like, I really don't know for sure. But I know that Magearna and its Soul Heart ability, which gives it +1 special attack anytime a Pokemon faints, no matter what, teammate or foe, it's just really absurd. So
that's a scary ability to be going up against, man. I don't want to be dealing with that. There's also, like, Jirachi has the Serene Grace cheese to go with Iron Head and everything. So you got, like, what it's like Air Slash chance to flinch with from Togekiss. But I think this is pretty cool just to see some of these mythicals being allowed in a competition like this. We've had this before, obviously, but to see this being doubles and the Pokemon allowing you to pick one from this list is, reminds me a lot of the restrictive formats we've played in the past. And it's just like, could this be potential format in the future for VGC? Maybe. I doubt it, but there is a possibility now. Strong one.
You know, I actually, the vibe that I'm getting is that it reminds me of the competitions from the past that, you know, would do fun experimental different rules. Like, we've been talking about this a lot recently when we were talking about Series 6 and what our predictions were for it. And it just really reminds me a lot of those days where they would host competitions with fun rule sets that were just like variants of normal battles, like the speed battles and whatever. And this really does feel like halfway to a restricted format. It is doubles. It seems fun. I don't think I will personally be partaking in any of it. But it's a fun way to get a glance at what some of these Pokemon will be like in a Dynamax format with like these new legendaries, you know, like Lunala. Dynamax Lunala sounds insane and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Dragapult eats up a lot of these Pokemon, too. So that's going to be a popular pick for this. Like, when you think about it, this tournament format is going to be very similar to Series 5 with just one of these mythicals thrown in. And I'll be honest, like, when I first saw this announcement, I only read the Pokemon list, and I saw Marshadow's name, and I kind of forgot for a minute, like, what it looked like, and I was like, wait a minute, I've seen this Pokemon before. Then I remembered it was in that Pokemon movie where Pikachu talked, and that was really weird and creepy, right? Am I getting the right movie right?
Oh my god, dude.
That's so messed up.
Have we talked about this on the podcast before? I feel like we might have, but
I don't know.
I'm going to tell the story again really quick. It just, like, when I saw that in theaters, the movie, whatever, where Pikachu talked, it was the one with Marshadow and Ho-Oh and stuff like that or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty packed theater, and the whole theater let out, like, a gasp, and, like, there were some people like, no. Like, everyone was just disappointed. Like, it was, like, honestly, the two most memorable movie experiences for me in terms of, like, seeing movies in a large group is that, and, like, when Captain America picked up, like, Thor's hammer in the second part, I guess. What was in Endgame?
Yeah, Endgame.
That part was, like, super awesome. But this was, like, the complete opposite. Like, everyone was just like, no. Like, so many people were just offended and just, like, bothered, and it was so bad. I'm so sad that you brought that up.
That was just, like, the first thing that came to mind when I saw Marshadow's name. I was like, I know I've seen this Pokemon before. It was in a movie. It was that one.
Oh, yeah.
So, this is a cool tournament. Like, there isn't much on the line here. Just, like, 50 BP if you play in a game. So if you have these Pokemon and you want to try them out in this, experimental format for a weekend, go for it, try it. I think there's a potential for this in the future, long ways out here, but you never know. Like, the way Pokemon does things, you just never know. This might become official at some point, in the future. But speaking of official formats and things in the future, coming up soon is that, wow, we have some strange occurrences here happening. But actually, last week, after we had recorded our show that week, we got the announcement about, we thought we had an announcement. There was a post and an announcement about Series 7 and what that format was going to look like. So, to run down some of those details, this was on, I think Pokemon even posted this stuff on Twitter and on their website in an article, and people, you know, broke down what they could from what they saw, and Series 7 was going to say all Pokemon from the Galar, Isle of Armor, and Crown Tundra Pokedexes will be available. All the Pokemon that were banned from Series 6 will now be legal again. Some of the legendary Pokemon are going to be legal in the format, even though they may not have a Crown Tundra Pokedex number. It's going to start on November 1st, and they also mentioned about changing the battle timer from 20 minutes to 15 minutes. But strangely enough, within these last week, that whole announcement has disappeared. You cannot find it anywhere. So that is a curious predicament. And I kind of want to just get your thoughts about, you know, what you thought of this initial announcement. What were you thinking? And, you know, what do you think it signals that they've taken it down?
Yeah, it's so strange that they took it down. I feel like maybe there's some tweaks that they're still planning. I honestly, I feel like it was just maybe meant to be posted after the DLC dropped or something. But it didn't seem like something that was posted early. I think it's fine to give us the rules before the, especially when things were so non-specific. But yeah, the part that goes into how there's just like some legendaries being allowed, but not, I do want to specify that I don't think like all legendaries are going to be allowed or anything like that. I've seen a lot of speculation about like thinking Xerneas is going to be legal and, that like people are worried that like Xerneas is coming back because it's been shown in the trailers and like they have all of those cover legends, but I really feel that we are not going to be getting the cover legends in VGC for a good while until they do one of those, you know, restricted formats again.
Yeah.
I think that we would have been seeing like some mention of like, you know, two per team in that rule set or something like that. You know, like I think that those cover legends are once again still going to be illegal, even though they are coming back to the game. And I think it is just going to be a matter of, you know, you can have as many of these new regular legendary Pokemon on your team, just like we've seen in past years, because, you know, they're strong, but they're still like balanced enough to be hanging out amongst other Pokemon, whereas like the cover legends are clearly meant to be very powerful.
Yeah, I never thought that we were going to see any of those like restricted legendary Pokemon, you know, that we categorize them like that. You know, those cover legends.
I don't
want
to say that you're wrong, Steven. It's just that I've seen a lot of people talking about it. Like I saw a Reddit post and somebody was like, "Man, I am not looking forward to the return of like Xerneas and stuff." And I was like, "No,
it's fair. Those statements. There are a lot of people apply. That are." Those statements still apply to the future.
You know, there's a lot of people that are, like, still new and don't understand. And so when they're saying the legendaries are back, people probably, you know, watched VGC in the last year or so. And they thought, like, oh, the format before, you know, Sword and Shield, they were using Xerneas and stuff. And I saw Xerneas on every team. And I don't want to play with that format. That looks annoying. So
yeah,
there's probably some people that don't, you know, aren't fully ingrained into the VGC community as we are. So that's why I wanted to specify that, especially if you are listening to this and don't know, but it is very likely that we will not be seeing Xerneas and Zacian and Solgaleo and Lunala, all those Pokemon legal. We're looking to see a lot of the Pokemon that we've already talked about on the show, but you know, the Kanto birds and obviously the new birds, the Tapus,
the Regis.
The Regis. which actually, Regigigas is one of the Pokemon that falls into normally legal in this type of format.
Yeah.
Despite having, like, a dominating role over the other trio of legendaries. It's actually, like, maybe on par or worse than them just because of its ability. we'll see how it it fares with Weezing. I know that everyone is talking about, like, Regigigas Weezing, Regigigas Weezing, neutralizing gas, you can disable its ability. And it's like, okay, cool, so you have just a regular Regigigas. That's something that, like, we haven't really talked about on the podcast much, but I think, like, it's just kind of a general thing that you get to know as you play more and more Pokemon. I think a Pokemon's ability is one of the most important traits of it, and having a lack of an ability can really hurt a Pokemon's viability. It's just, yeah, like, just because your Regigigas has, like, some sweet stats doesn't mean it's better than Tapu Koko setting up electric terrain and getting a free multiplier on all of its electric attacks. Like, multipliers are insane.
Right, I'm definitely with you there. Like, you know, one of those definitions of, you know, what makes a competitive Pokemon, you know, better than another one, when all the stats can be similar. Like, stats play into it. The ability is a big part of it, too, and, like, their move pool, right? And how well you can deal damage and take it back, right? That was one of those early definitions I found on Smogon, like, many years ago, back in, like, the late mid-2000s or something. I was like, oh, that's cool. That's an easy way to understand it. Before we talk about more of these legendaries here, I do want to just bring up that whole thing about the restricted versus regular legendary Pokemon. You know, we call them like pseudo legends, I guess, but or cover pseudo legends versus cover legends, and that's you know, we have
no pseudo legends is a different thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, so, sorry, you're right. Yeah, I know, like Dragonite and Tyranitar and everything. Anyway, the point I wanted to bring up here is that we have the precedent in the past, which of course they Pokemon can easily break, but you look at both 2015 and 2018, when we got new games, Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire, and Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, respectively, which had all of these legendary Pokemon available, right? You had Kyogre, Groudon, you know, Xerneas, whatever. They were available, you know, in those games to catch, right? Well, maybe not Xerneas and Oras, but you know what I'm saying. They're available for the generation. And they, even though they were all available, you know, from the get-go, they weren't legal in that format. So I think we're going to see the same thing play out here. We're going to get to, you know, just test the waters out without any of those major cover legends, those restricted legendaries to start. They'll come in within a year's time or longer. So I don't think anyone needs to be worried about that yet. But again, we could be wrong. You never know.
So let's talk about the timer here, Steven. They did mention that the timer would be 15 minutes in this deleted post.
Yeah.
And that's no longer there. That obviously, the post has been deleted. But it was interesting that they changed this, because I guess maybe they anticipate the format going faster, that it's not going to be some type of issue, or they were worried that there was going to be, like, timer stall with the reintroduction of Pokemon like Celesteela, potentially. Like, the Ultra Beasts are not considered legendary Pokemon, but I do believe they will be coming in this package here, in the DLC, because I think that was, like, in the data mine, maybe. Like, it just seems like they would be the type of Pokemon to be coming with this group of Pokemon, you know? I think they even... I'm just realizing now, I kind of forgot Silvally's a legendary.
Yeah, I was thinking in the big legendaries list. Like,
isn't it already legal? It's legal right now.
It's already legal, and like Urshifu's on the list too.
Oh yeah, I forgot Zacian, Zamazenta, Urshifu are in this list as well. Yeah, it's a weird picture. Why are they doing it like this? Okay, I got really thrown off by this Silvally that I'm looking at here. I'm so lost, I don't even remember where I was.
I'm too. What were you talking about?
Talking about the timer and the Ultra Beasts. Thank you, thank you. Okay, so anyway, Celesteela is returning, and that's a Pokemon that really, like, worried... I'm speaking for Pokemon, but I imagine it worried them timer-wise, because it would really drag out games with its Leech Seed set, and Celesteela versus Celesteela was a not terribly uncommon endgame, though. Not, like, that common. And they would just Leech Seed each other, substitute Flamethrower for, like, chip damage, but it would really drag out, and maybe that's what they were worried about timer-wise, something like that dragging out really long. But, yeah, the return of the Ultra Beast is something that I think we should talk about, even if they're not confirmed yet, just because of their implication in a format with Dynamax. I think when Sword and Shield had first come out, and we were coming off of 2019, a lot of my friends and I had talked about, you know, oh man, imagine what the Ultra Beast would be like with these new Dynamax mechanics. Because, of course, you get a boost or a drop with every attack that you use as a Dynamax Pokemon. And when you take a KO as a Ultra Beast, you get a stat boost, a beast boost.
Yeah.
And those beast boosts, of course, boost the Pokemon's highest stat. So for Kartana, it was often attack. For Celesteela, it was whatever you wanted it to be, man. You had the world was your oyster there. And of course, it would take the highest stat. And that ended up, that would be really dangerous for Pokemon like, say, Kartana. Kartana learns, like, Aerial Ace. And of course, as we know, any Pokemon that learns a flying move is, got something going for it just because of how strong Airstream is. Max Airstream, the Dynamax form of any flying move. And being able to get a plus one speed, and if you knock that Pokemon out, a plus one attack, means that Kartana just learned damaging Dragon Dance. And that's just, like, terrifying to think about, on top of it having double of its HP, which is, like, 30, but, you know, still scary.
Yeah, so it does get some kind of respectable bulk without necessarily needing to have an assault vest or anything. But, you know, Kartana's attack is, like, massive. It is incredibly massive. One of the highest in the game already. And when you're compounding that with, you know, the, like you mentioned, the attacking Dragon Dance, like, that is considerably very scary.
So a lot of people, while we're on the topic of Kartana, I do want to just kind of, like, Steven and I are going to give a lot of opinions here. I'm going to try to offer not necessarily controversial ones, but I'm just going to try to, I guess, differ from what I've generally been hearing from the masses. And one of the first ones that I wanted to talk about here is, like, Kartana potentially learning Grassy Glide. A lot of people are like, oh man, like, you know, Rillaboom is so crazy with its Grassy Glide. Can you imagine it on a Pokemon like Kartana? And I just wanted to stop and say, I don't even think that Kartana should be running Grassy Glide, unless, like, in some niche scenarios or teams. You know, I think it's going to be a lot better off using Leaf Blade with the higher base power. The crit chance has just been something that Kartana has, you know, wreaked havoc with. It's been so annoying, just like over the past couple of years that we've had Kartana legal. And I really think that running Grassy Glide over the stronger option in Leaf Blade is just going to be suboptimal.
Yeah, I hear you there. I think, you know, just you can put Scuplins on that thing too, and we've seen how deadly that can be with a lot of these Pokemon, with their crit chances in this form, especially with Dynamax too. So, yeah, Kartana would be a major player if the Ultra Beasts do return like this. I think Celesteela, you know, kind of getting back to that whole timer thing we were talking about, like, I thought it was strange with the timer, you know, changing back to 15. Like, when we first started the 2020 format on the Sword and Shield, the format initially started at 15 minutes, then it went to 20 minutes in like mid-February or March. It's been that way since then, and then that announcement for some reason just said that we were going to change back to 15, which I thought was really weird. Like, I never heard anyone complain about the 20 minutes. I know, Alex, you personally, back when we started the format, you were a proponent of, you know, kind of milking the clock, which is fine. It's the term is there, your time, you use it how you want, and yep. You know, that just fit your playstyle and the kind of teams you were running then. So, I don't know. I'm sure that changed for you as the time went to 20 minutes and the formats changed. Mm-hmm. And I just, yep. I don't know how that would have influenced your play if it went back down to 15. But another important thing to note is, like, you know, with Celesteela, especially those, like, mirrors, those endgame mirrors, we only saw that in a format and rule set where the only timers in play were your time. So, we had those tiebreakers and such at the end, but we haven't seen that seen Celesteela in a hybrid system yet, where there's your time and the overall battle timer as well.
That's a very good point, and it just brings us back to, you know, stuff that strategies that are not as viable in limited time formats. Well, ignoring the hybrid your time aspect, just something like that has been popular in the past couple formats in, like, 2019 largely, was, like, Soak plus Shedinja. And a lot of people were asking themselves, you know, why wasn't this as dominant in 2016? And there was, like, it was, like, a round in 2016, but it wasn't as big of a deal because if it came down to it, you just knocked out all of their Pokemon except that Soakshedinja that you couldn't damage, and then timer stalled. And then as long as you had two or actually even one Pokemon, right? If you stalled out to the end of the game, you'd have more... Oh, no, not a, you wouldn't have more over... No, you probably have more overall HP, considering they have one.
Yeah, percentage-wise, yeah. I definitely think so. Yeah,
I doubted myself for a second because Shedinja was only contributing one HP to the total.
Right.
But no, it's definitely not going to be lower because it's still one HP out of whatever. And that is the lowest percentage it can be, whereas your Pokemon, as long as it has more than one HP, is not the lowest percentage it can be. You would just timer stall it and stuff like if it was like a Ferrothorn, just like, you know, that you couldn't damage and it was setting up Leech Seed on all your Pokemon. As long as you kept switching and, you know, kept your Pokemon alive, you would beat that Ferrothorn clicking Leech Seed. And so that prevents certain strategies from working. Celesteela is similar to Ferrothorn in that aspect. It's a Leech Seed setting Pokemon that is very hard to KO. So... it very well could be that this is the reason, but it just seems so weird to turn the timer down when the format is already so fast-paced, and it's going to be likely more fast-paced with the power creep that we're getting. Dynamax just allowing so many offensive threats to go even crazier. That's just like a different discussion in general,
yeah.
Is like the effects of Dynamax, but... overall, like a brief summary of my opinion is that Dynamax mostly just allows aggro teams to go more aggro because their offensive Pokemon just gets higher base power moves and more HP to play riskier, you know, where like in the past, you know, if you had like a Blaziken and a Bisharp, those Pokemon were very liable to be one-hit KO'd. Whereas if you have a Dynamax Dragapult, which is about as bulky as a Tapu Koko, it's a lot less likely to be one shot out of nowhere by some, you know, some attack that you weren't expecting, and that just changes the way that the game flows a lot.
Yeah, definitely. So again, all this information about the timer is now unconfirmed. We don't know if this is going to happen per se anymore, but we can head back to the Ultra Beast, I guess. Here, we'll always get to talk about timer as we move forward. But we'll see what happens with that. But let's get back to the Ultra Beasts here. You know, if they're coming, you know, we talked a good deal about Kartan already, Celesteela. And what else do we have? There's Zerkatry. We have Buzzwole.
I ended up looking a picture of all the Ultra Beasts, and I saw a funny Buzzwole plush. Like, this thing does not look real. It's the official one, too.
Oh,
man. If you have time, I recommend looking up the official Buzzwole plush, because it's just like, it doesn't even look real. It looks like a drawing. It's so funny looking. Anyway, Buzzwole is a Pokemon that will not be seeing usage in this Dynamax format just because of the popularity of Airstream. It is not a fan of getting hit by quadruple effective flying moves. Pheromosa is a Pokemon that I don't think will be too impactful, but again, for similar reasons, it's going to protect on a max Airstream and just die through Protect. And... because it's got so little bulk, it is one of the like exceptions to the rule that I had mentioned earlier. It is so frail that I don't think it can afford to take advantage of Dynamax, and it also had pretty decent availability to high power moves. I do think it'll be able to get close combat now, so it doesn't have to like risk a high jump kick every time it wants to click a fighting type attack or a focus blast. Hopefully they don't give it Aura Sphere, but like I don't think that would be that deadly. It's also a Pokemon that does not have great max typing. You know, max fighting, I guess, is good for the physical one, and then, like, max bug is just okay.
Yeah.
Zerkatry is a Pokemon that I could see it being a bit deadly, just because it has access to Tail Glow, but it doesn't have a ton of options otherwise. Like, I feel like it frequently ran Hidden Power. I guess it ran, like, Energy Ball and Dazzling Gleam, but I don't think it's going to be amazing. There's no, like, new tools that make Zerkatry amazing. I skipped over Nidalee. Nidalee is like a solid Pokemon. It has access to like Trick Room, and it has like a cool speed tier. But I don't know. I guess Max Poison is fun. Max Rock boosting its Spideff even further means that it is going to be a special tank. But Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, I'm just kind of like dominating here. If there's anything you wanted to chime in, Steven.
That's right. Nia Liga still has that Achilles heel on the physical defense side. So personally, I would like it a lot. We'd probably see it a lot more in a restricted format. So we're probably not going to get that right away. So Nia Liga works a lot better when Xerneas is around and in play. But if the Tapus come, you know, you could definitely see that coming. To the field pretty often, I think.
Back to Celesteela, another move that it's theory to get, or like, you know, the data mines, which again are not like 100% proven, so I'm just going to be talking about the possibilities of these Pokemon getting the moves. Cosmic Power is a thing that Celesteela is getting. I have a feeling that's going to be just more impactful in metagames like singles and stuff. I don't think Cosmic Power is fast enough on a Celesteela in VGC. We're playing a pretty fast format, and they also did just like potentially lower the timer, so I really don't think Celesteela has time to be clicking Cosmic Power, Leech Seeds, and just like sitting there forever. It, obviously, with just like one Cosmic Power, it's going to be a pretty hard Pokemon to knock out because of its great stat balance. But
do you think it might get I don't even know if it learns this already, but like Iron Defense, Body Press?
So Body Press is a fun thought for Celesteela, and that actually could be pretty cool. A Pokemon that would be even crazier with Body Press is Stakataka.
Oh god, yeah. Let's talk about that one now.
I want to talk about Stakataka because it is the Ultra Beast that I am the most excited for. It has so much going for it. First off, this is assuming it gets Body Press, but if it does get Body Press, not only is that move doing so much damage, it is a Pokemon that has access to Max Steel off a stab move. So like if it's going for Gyro Ball, and then it maxes and sets up three plus defenses on all those max steals, then it's going to be doing so much damage with its Body Press. Body Press finally gives it an option, like I don't know, it had Superpower before, but it wasn't as consistent of a fighting move as you would have liked, because if you hit into the wrong like switch, then you really got punished. Body Press also, you know, turns into Max Fighting, which allows it to hit other Stakataka for some decent damage. Of course, it's got so much defense and it's lower base power, but it allows it to enable its other attacks to do more damage. And then lastly, of course, it is a rock type, and Max Rock would boost its special defense further. It's such a physically defensive tank, but it's not terrible on the special defensive end, and it gets even better with Sand being set up, just boosting its SpDef by 1.5. like, it's gonna be such a fun Pokemon.
Yeah, in addition, like a Dynamax Stakataka would be just Stakataka. It just goes on and on and on. But another good thing is, like, even it's gonna be such a good Pokemon because not only can you just Dynamax it, it also has a really good support move pool. It learns Trick Room, and it can do Wide Guard, a lot of other neat stuff like that. So also Beast Boost. You can raise your defense or your attack. You know, still something that bothers me is just, if you want to get the Beast Boost that raises the attack, you need to have that like weird IV of 13 or 14 to have your defense low enough so that your attack is higher.
And listen, Steven, like, our attacking stat is defense now. We're running max HP, max defense, stack attack, and we're just KOing everything in sight with Body Press. If they don't give this mod Body Press, I'm going to be very sad.
Ugh. They might have been aware of this already, and they'd be like, that's too strong. No.
So, like, listen, there's, like, some other beast to talk about here, and I guess Necrozma's in this picture that I'm looking at. It is not a beast, nor will it be legal. Necrozma has only been legal in the restricted formats like, 2019 with Xerneas and stuff. Even though Necrozma is a Pokemon that does not have the most amazing stats, you know, because it's meant to be transformed into Necrozma Duskmane or Dawn Wings. It is not legal or expected to be legal in this coming year. Same with like Zygarde regular or Zygarde dog form. Those are Pokemon that we don't expect to see coming. But the last couple of Ultra Beasts here, we've got like Blacephalon, Guzzlord, and what is this one called? I'm looking at it.
Nagonadel? Is that the
last
one?
Yeah, Nagonadel. Yes. I knew the name of the little one, Poipole. Anyway, the three of them are, like, solid Pokemon, and they have decent attacking stats. Like, having a quad weakness to Fairy is bad for Guzzlord, but Dynamaxing maybe makes it able to tank some attacks because it's got solid defenses. Max Poison boosting the offenses of Nagonadel is fun, and then Blacephalon doesn't really have anything that combos well. Ghost is not great for a special attacker, and Fire can set Sun. That's solid enough. But I think what's important to note, and what's important to note about all of these Pokemon in the other list too, is that Dragapult is just still here. I think the Dragapult is going to prevent a lot of these Pokemon, these new Pokemon, from running away with anything or like going too crazy. Those are three Pokemon that just get hit by Dragapult stabs super effectively, which means they are not going to be having a good time.
Yeah, as well, like half the rest of the format too, right? Especially some of the new stuff coming in. Like Dragapult is so good. It's such a good Pokemon. I still can't get over that. Like, it's the speed stat is really what kills everything.
It's the speed stat on top of them giving it clear body, especially with the introduction of Dynamax. Yeah. You know, how Dynamax is very reliant on stat boosts and stat drops. And the fact that your opponent can't drop your stats is really huge. Speaking of, why don't we talk about another Pokemon that can have its stats dropped that is going to be coming in this release, and that is Metagross. Metagross is a solid Pokemon that we talked about before. It used to be strong in 17 with the Bulldoze plus Weakness Policy strategy, and I think something like that just gets even stronger now. Max Steel boosts are like going to be really, really strong. It has that clear body, which I just mentioned, of course, and how that factors into its matchup against Dragapult is super interesting, because Metagross has a lot of defense. Like, it's a bulky Pokemon. So it's going to be able to withstand a physical Dragapult. Dragapult can run special, but only time will tell what's going to be more popular in this new format. However, just ignoring those defense drops so it can't just kind of keep comboing into you with Max Phantasm. And if it hits your partner, or I guess you, with a Max Dragon, you don't get your attack dropped, which means Metagross continues to hit super, super hard.
Yeah, I think that's really big for Metagross to be a relevant player in this upcoming format. You know, something that is concerning, though, is that the Dragapult teams will probably be able to put on a lot more offensive pressure on it. So you're kind of on the back pedal using the Metagross, but it's also, you know, that is really relevant to it. You know, we talked about this near the top of the show, you know, your ability, your stats, your move pool, that's really important. So I think Metagross is going to be a big player, you know, just blocking the Intimidate, blocking the Dynamax moves, stat drops, and it's going to be really big. Metagross has a good move pool too, so there's going to be a lot of solid strategies built around it and for it. It's also going to be pretty good, decent on Psy Spam teams too, I think.
Oh, that's true. And while we're talking about Psy Spam, we can talk about Lele here. Lele is going to be cray-cray just because it... of the factor that, like, Indeedee and Lele are just going to be so insane together. Indeedee just giving Lele everything that it needs with redirecting, like, ghost moves. Something that I thought that's hilarious is just, like, Indeedee and Lele. Did I mention this on the show already? With, like, the ally switch?
No, I don't think so. I haven't heard this.
Okay. Indeedee, Lele, and just, like, putting ally switch on the Indeedee is just really funny because of how it factors in, or how it plays against Dragapult. Dragapult has to click Max Dragon when it's staring down, like, a female Indeedee and Lele. I guess Max Airstream is an option, but, like, you know, if it wants to get super, like, some solid damage off, it has to click Max Dragon, expecting to follow me. But if you click Ally Switch and they Phantasm the Lele, then you're hitting a normal type. If they Dragon move the Indeedee, they're hitting a fairy type. Yeah. It's just really funny. It brings me back to when I was laughing at the idea of running Togekiss and Indeedee to take on Dragapult, so that way it's just like, which one's gonna click follow me, you know, pick your stab move of choice. You have to get this right.
I think it's cool that both Indeedee and Lele can you know, be run together on the same team as partners and do a lot of neat
things. I don't
think
that's cool.
You don't think it's cool? Well, anyway, the point I was trying
scary.
To get to, it is scary. It's cool too, but you know, one of the neat things is that they can also be run independently from one another and have the team composition be totally different. So I think it's going to be really cool to see you having just these two different Pokemon that set Psychic Terrain up.
That's fair. Like, Lele was used on a lot of, like, very aggro teams. And while Indeedee is used on, like, aggro teams occasionally, it's for different reasons. And Indeedee's often used to redirect to allow setup, whereas Lele is not enabling setup. It's the damage dealer. So It is cool that we have more options now. You know, if you want to play a psychic terrain team but don't want your psychic terrain setter to just, you know, faint upon switching or something like that, just because it's, you know, going to be an all-out offense mon. Whereas in DD is just like, I mean, it's not that much bulkier, but it is often run bulkier. Whereas Lele doesn't really have the, doesn't get as much value out of running bulk. I think that Tapu Koko is another Pokemon that we could maybe see, but like probably not with like Pincurchin. It does not get nearly as much benefit as Lele and DD gets. Like that's clearly the one that you get the most out of running both potentially. And Bulu, Rillaboom like exists, but like I think it's just going to be pick one. And sadly, I think a lot of people are going to be picking Rillaboom. I'm sorry, Bulu.
Yeah, just more utility there.
And then there's Tapu Fini. Tapu Fini is going to be I'm not even mentioning Weezing because Weezing, if anything, like I think Weezing is much more notable for its neutralizing gas ability. So if you want to set Misty Terrain, just use a Fini is like just such a good Pokemon. It is going to be great to have Fini back, especially in a format with Dynamax, just because of so much stuff that Fini can do. It has you know, you can side swagger your Dynamax Pokemon.
That's a big thing. Will it still be able to learn it?
That's true. We have to see what options it still has. It has, I think, all of the Tapus. While we're here, we should probably mention that all of the Tapus might be getting Misty Explosion.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
It's really funny to think about. There's a lot of new moves theoried for these mons. Expanding Force Lele is going to be so deadly.
That's so strong.
That's like terrifying to think about. Tapu Koko might be getting Play Rough and Close Combat.
And Rising Voltage too.
So Tapu Koko and Rising Voltage. Like Tapu Koko could still go special. The one thing that I want to say about Rising Voltage is that we're going into a metagame that's going to likely have a lot of flyers, just at least with the beginning of the format with the new toy syndrome. A lot of people are going to be running these birds, these Galar birds, the Galar forms of the Kanto birds. And not being able to hit them for boosted damage is just going to be really sour. So I think that we're going to see another thing that's just like super awesome is like Koko has the option to run physical now. And a large reason of it is because of those birds. Koko didn't really love running physical just because it didn't have the move pool for it, and Intimidate was, as always, so common. Whereas now we're going into a format where if these Galar birds are a strong partner to stick next to your Koko, which I don't have any reason to believe they won't be, you know, them, you know, being a flying Pokemon so they can cover Tapu Koko in terms of its ground weakness, and then they have these abilities that, you know, deter Intimidate. Like that's going to be really solid for the physical attacking option on Tapu Koko.
Yeah, and jumping to back to Tapu Fini is that while we're not sure if it's still going to be able to learn Swagger, I know Haze is in its regular move pool, so it's probably still going
to
have.
I really
that.
Wanted to mention Haze. Haze is like so good.
Haze, you've got you know, just standard, you know, good attacking moves on it. There's also the possibility it may get Flip Turn. So you also have now a pivot option with your Tapu Fini, and just like with other Pokemon who use that, like Rillaboom and Incineroar with U-turn, you get the option to, you know, change up your board position and be able to get your ability back in and reset whatever you need to reset there. So I think if Tapu Fini has that option, that's gonna be really strong on it.
That would be insane. I honestly think that that'd be so strong. Like, it's not a damage dealing move, but giving Fini the option to pivot is just so interesting. Of course, Steven mentioned that, yeah, stab moves will be solid on it, like water and fairy. It's got enough special attack to do damage. It hits as hard as Koko, of course, ignoring the terrain and the difference in investment that they often receive. But Fini has options to, like, access to Icy Wind, Nature's Madness. It's got, like, every gravity, if that's, like, something that you want to try out. There's so much.
Yeah. Question about Tapu Fini and just like the kind of the typing partner with it. You know, Primarina shares the same typing and Primarina is much stronger. Do you think Tapu Fini's presence is going to impact Primarina's, you know, I guess, usage in the metagame?
So, yeah, I think that people will go back to Fini. And The only reason is because Finney was always there to compete with the Tapus. It was like, I feel like Tapu Finney was like the older sister trying to rein everybody in, because all these other Tapus are trying to do damage, you know? They're the ones setting up terrain that boost damage, and Tapu Finney's just like, can everybody chill out? And, you know, Finney is the one that's just like, no multipliers. You know what? I'm not even bringing a multiplier for myself, okay? Everybody just calm down. And Finney is going to be a fun option if you have, say, like, a Pokemon that can handle Max Phantasm next to it, just because Dragapult won't be able to, or if you have like a grounded dragon Pokemon like Garchomp or something, you know, you can actually double, you can have the damage from those dragon type attacks and really enable your dragon types that way, or like Pokemon that are weak to dragon. Just like, it's neat that Finny can bring that to the table. But yeah, it's really just going to be there to turn off the terrains of these degenerate other Tapus.
You know, one other thing I want to ask you about, or some other things I want to ask you about here is, you know, with Feeny and Coco coming back and the those terrains specifically, being able to set those up immediately, do you think this will deter sleep anymore, or have a better impact on sleep? Because you know, there are going to be a lot of Pokemon who are not grounded who won't be protected by the terrains anyway. So, I don't know how big that's going to be. And plus, like, Torkoal, Venusaur is still going to be good with all these Pokemon coming in. Like, Venusaur still covers a lot of these Pokemon.
So, there's a lot of things that I need to bring up with the points that you've mentioned. Sleep will still be strong, as it was in the formats with Tapu. Like, when we saw an 18, Amoongus was still a dominant pick, and there's still going to be the option of running Amoongus with an Indeedee or a Lele to turn off those terrains. And then that way people are going to be able to put things to sleep. I just have so many, like, random points that I just want to, like, rattle off here. Tapu Koko, I think, is going to be a Pokemon that just enjoys not Dynamaxing, maybe potentially with Lele as well. I think both of them are going to be kind of cleanup Pokemon, because Tapu Koko, if it does go for a Max Fairy, Fairy might not even be one of Koko's best moves, because it has access to Brave Bird and Close Combat, which are really great Max move potential. But I think Koko is more often than not going to choose to not Max, because it would turn off its own electric terrain by setting Misty Terrain with like a Play Rough or something like that. And that it's going to want to hit dragon type Pokemon like Dragapult with super effective damage. So yeah, the Lele I think is going to be also a cleanup Pokemon as well. You mentioned Venusaur. It's going to be really annoying just dealing with the fact that it has Earth Power now. We're getting Heatran back, and normally Heatran would get to look at Venusaur and just say like, tough luck, bud, you know. Yeah. You can't do anything to me. But Heatran just now gets deleted by a Max Ground, maybe not if it Dynamaxes. But then that's really forcing your hand, and you really don't want your Dynamax Pokemon to be taking 80 to 90% in one hit anyway. I also want to mention briefly that Heatran might be getting Burning Jealousy, which would be huge just because of how Burning Jealousy interacts with all of these degenerate setup strategies that Dynamax enables, and how great it is into Airstream in a format where Airstream is going to be very common.
Yeah, like, not that you mentioned Heatran, like, I am not liking its place with a lot of these other Pokemon now that things have access to ground moves, especially, like, the Max Quakes can just go through Protect anyway, and, you know, we saw the same thing with Z moves, like, Tectonic Rage would still go through it, but, like, you have three turns to potentially knock that thing out or deal enough damage to it. And just, you know, a lot of things get Earth Power or Scorching Sands now, like other fire types too. Like, Heatran's not going to have a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I guess Charizard is another Pokemon that I don't think it'll be a terribly common in this next metagame. I am happy to be proven wrong. But yeah, it seems like a Pokemon that will fall off. However, if we ever get like Megas back, or if Charizard is popular, it does have that Scorching Sands to just delete Heatran, a Pokemon that used to just be able to, you know, be your dedicated Charizard counter. It's just kind of sad for it. And yeah, there's just like, there's so much to look forward to in this coming metagame. I think one last, not like last thing here, but something that I wanted to mention before I forget to, is that I think Landorus, Landorus is a Pokemon that's getting a lot of talk. People are putting it at the top of its their tier lists. It's been a Pokemon that's been great in all of its years. I really do think Landorus is overrated where people are putting it now. I think it is going to be strong. It's got great Dynamax options in Max Airstream and Ground, but I don't think it's going to be the premier Dynamax Pokemon just because it's a Pokemon that enjoys switching in and out because of Intimidate. It's a Pokemon that's going to be really hard to bring in the beginning of the format where everybody's using these birds and setting off Defiant and Competitive and stuff like that is going to be so annoying. But it is still, it's a strong Pokemon. I just don't think it's going to be as strong as people are imagining it will be. There's going to be a lot of flyers. There's a lot of new toys that are going to be a little awkward for it to deal with.
Yeah, I hear you there. And when you think about it, like, if having Intimidate on Landorus is becoming a problem, like, switch back to the Incarnate form, where I think your speed goes up, so you're a little bit faster, and you still have decent enough power, and the typing's still pretty decent. You can definitely still run, like, in the Incarnate Landorus if you still need that type for the team. What was the other thing I wanted to mention here? Is that the... I think this is also an important question that kind of is relevant with the way we've seen series change pretty frequently over these this last year and what the future holds. Is, do you think we're going to get all of these, you know, regular legendaries right off the bat legal in the format, or do you think they're going to kind of be brought in these phases through the series? Like, we may just come in groups to start.
So there was that theory that, you know, what we saw done with the G-Max forms and how they were released in batches through the series, that was a little less impactful because the G-Maxes, I don't know, there was like one batch that people were waiting for and then the rest weren't as relevant. I don't know. It doesn't feel the same with these Pokemon because they, I don't know how they would choose to like batch them out by generation, you know? It just seems so weird that it's like, okay, you have just, you know, the new Galar Kanto birds and the regular Kanto birds, and next series we'll give you the beast trio of Suicune, Entei, Raikou, and it's like, oh, who cares? Like people won't be caring until we get to like Gen 5 and Gen 4 when we get the real ones that matter. maybe they have a different system in place, but you get what I'm trying to say. Like, it's just, it feels weird. Like, I don't know how you would section these mons off.
Yeah, that is true. Like, I guess something plausible might be like birds and the Reggie trios first, plus Swords of Justice that are already in, and then we'll phase in everything else as we go on through the months in 2021. But then if everything just comes right away in Series 7 in November, it's like, well, what changes are we expecting for Series 8 and 9 and just moving forward? Like, I don't know what they're going to do there. Are we going to see
more? We don't need any.
Yeah, true. We don't need any, but they're probably going to do it. Do another, like, Series 6 style ban list.
Yeah, who knows? Like, I really don't want to see a metagame like this move on too quickly. Because this is like us finally having all of our toys, you know? We're getting closer and closer to having all of the Pokemon in the game. There are still a good portion of Pokemon that are out, but a lot of them are like not the huge meta relevant ones, stuff like Pidgey or Raticate, and it's like we're getting the Pokemon that define formats, and we already have like a good number of them in, but getting the rest will be very interesting to see. And when we have metagames like that, we see them develop over time. You know, day one metagame or like a month old metagame is nowhere near the same as it is when it's going into Nats or Worlds. And I really hope that we get the chance to develop a metagame with all of these legendaries available.
Nationals, Worlds, what are those? That doesn't exist anymore.
That's a fair point.
What does that mean? Also, like, within your last statement, all I heard was like, we're getting closer to the national decks. We're getting closer to the national decks. They can stop complaining.
I know. Bring back Nat decks, right? Right? Anyway, I want to go back to Landorus sure. And just mention just one more thing about it. It's just that it's drawing comparisons. Remember, I'm just going to bring us back, Steven. You remember when Incineroar was being introduced to 2020?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh man, like VGC is done for. Like, Incin is back. And it turns out that Incin, like, is just a solid Pokemon. It's not like it's defining the format. Teams are still opting to not run it. And Yeah, people are even running it like differently than before because of Dynamax, like you saw in the team that you ran in the IC. I think that it's going to be different for Landorus, just like it was for Incineroar. Like, Dynamax changes the game, and having Pokemon be immune to Fake Out was something that Incineroar really had to adapt to. Amoongus was another Pokemon that I was really bagging on, and I think people... I don't know if people agree with me on this one, but like, I do think Amoongus was highly overrated coming into Series 5. People were like, oh man, Amoongus is back, Amoongus is back. It's going to dominate everything. And there's so much working against it between like the competing grass types, Max Airstream being so popular, and you don't really want to have to run a Resist Berry, but you have to. So on top of like Colossal being a popular Pokemon too, like it was not as big as I think people made it out to be. And I think that's what's going to end up happening with Landorus.
Yeah, like, see, I'm getting stronger and stronger on this opinion. Is this like, people, let's run Incarnate form. This is going to be the better version here now.
I don't know about this opinion, Steven. You're losing me on this one.
Okay, fine. Now that, since you brought up Colossal, we didn't really mention Colossal with all of these other changes. Like, it's still going to do the same thing it likes to do. Do you think it's still going to be impactful with all these legendaries coming and the other new wave of regular mods?
You know, I'm in the camp that yes, it'll still be good. The chip damage that Volcarith brings is still insane. I think Venusaur is another Pokemon that like is going to be one that we're going to be watching to see if it's good. Like you mentioned, Venusaur Torkoal is still going to be awesome. However, I think that's only half true. Venusaur still does seem to be awesome. There are a lot more birds, which is annoying for it. But Torkoal is the Pokemon that like I felt like could keep up in the last format, but maybe won't be able to anymore with the power creep. This is normally the point of the game where we get Charizard Y to set Sun, and you know, like that's what we had in 2018. Torkoal is not quite the sunsetter that Charizard Y is, and so while it's a solid Pokemon, we're gonna have to see if Torkoal's able to keep up in the metagame, or if you're just running a dead sun setting slot. And if that helps Venusaur. And then bringing it back to Cole, I think Cole will be good just because, again, that chip is so good. And then there are a lot of flyers, like the flying type Pokemon, as well as just Dragapult being the enabler for it is still strong because, I mean, nothing outspeeds Dragapult. Like, we've brought back everything, and Dragapult's just still here. Like, still so dominant.
It's going to withstand all these format changes. Like, it's that good. You know, with all these new changes coming, that's pretty, it's going to be fun, interesting to look into another brand new format update, just like with Isle of Armor. This one may be even bigger, though, because we're getting legendaries, including, like, other regulars coming back. You know, another thing that we can't talk too much on, because we just don't have enough information, is Regieleki and Regidrago. It's just, like, we don't know much, so we don't know if they're going to be big players or not.
Yeah, we'll have to just wait and see, and... I feel like there's still more to be said about Series 7 here, but maybe we'll save it in case we don't get any more information next week. I'm really hoping that we do. And I think that as we go, we'll be able to just talk more and more about opinions like that change over the coming weeks. You know, we're still seeing a lot of theory amongst the community. A lot of people are putting out their tier list videos, like I said. Like, my team building group chat, even right now as we're recording, is just, like, theorying about all kinds of different stuff that's coming in the metagame. So, I'll be able to bring back more opinions next week, to talk about some of the things that we're gonna be able to expect coming in this, format. Maybe next week we talk about some of the legends that we didn't mention and why they will be bad. There's a lot of legends that have not gotten attention. Like, I'm looking at the Lake Trio, and we might need to break down why these Pokemon are not going to be as impactful as some of the others.
That all sounds good.
Spoiler warning, Dragapult.
Anyway, I had some other point, but I forgot it. But so I think you know, there's obviously so much more to be said with this upcoming rule set. What the exact rule set is going to be. What the timer is going to look like when we're going to get these announcements, because Players Cup 2, you know, that regional qualifier stage is coming up soon. Another thing, like, with in terms of practice, like, you can't really practice yet until we know the stats of the birds, the new Regis, what the And so Showdown, we'll have to wait until that comes out. And then, like, Battle Stadium, you got to wait till November 1st, too. So it's kind of a struggle right now. We're kind of in limbo.
Yeah. We're really, like, just at the theory point. And once the game comes out and we can get those numbers on those new guys, that's going to be when everything breaks and we learn all the new learn sets. I'm looking forward to October 22nd, dude. That's going to be a crazy, crazy day.
Yes, big day for Pokemon here. And I think, Alex, that'll be a wrap for us today. So,
Alrighty.
Let's close up shop. And everyone, thank you for listening. Remember, you can send us your comments, questions, and feedback to our email, vgchypervoice@gmail.com. You can tell your friends about this show if they'd be interested in a show about competitive Pokemon to let them know about us. You can also find our show on a variety of podcasting platforms, some of the major ones being Apple Podcasts or iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Leave us a review on Apple to help us with visibility so that others can discover the show. And remember, you can also send your comments, questions, and feedback to our Facebook and Twitter, which can both be found on those respective sites at The Hyper Voice. You can also contact us directly if you'd like. You can follow us on Twitter and talk to us on Twitter, where we are at. I am at Super Morioka. And Alex, where can people find you?
You can follow me at LexiconVGC.
Whew, almost ruined the ending there. But I got us out of here safely. Thank you, the listeners, so much for listening. And stay tuned for more of The Hyper Voice.
Alola.